Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, February 19th. I'm Ray Graff. Today's show is the Copyright Forum. And joining us today, Paul Rapp, Polly Law, and Bill Westwood. They are here to answer your questions about protecting your writing, your music, your art, your intellectual property. If you have a question about copyright law or what's in the public domain, give us a call at 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Paul, Polly, Bill, your copyright calls are coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today it's the Copyright Forum, and to answer your questions, we have the great panel back in the studio. Paul Rapp is an intellectual property lawyer and writer in the Berkshires. He represents musicians, writers, fine artists, and businesses involved in the creative economy. He lectures widely on intellectual property issues and wrote a column for Metroland. Metroland. Bill Westwood is one of the country's leading medical illustrators and a professional member and past president of the Association of Medical Illustrators. Polly Law is a past president of the Graphic Artists Guild, an organization focused on the rights of artists. She is a designer, illustrator, and artist whose works are in numerous private collections and is represented by galleries in Rhinebeck, New York, along with Provincetown and Nantucket, Massachusetts. The number to call if you have a question about copyright is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Paul, Bill, Polly, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Hey, Ray.
Thank you.
This is going to be fun, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Even
it
if
always
no one,
is.
No
it
one
always
calls.
Is.
Oh, I'm
yeah.
sure people will call. But, Bill, you said you had an interesting situation that you had heard of.
Yeah, I got an email from a colleague yesterday, and he had a friend who was working, an American, U.S. citizen, who's working legally in Canada.
Legally.
Legally.
Okay.
And the medical illustrator who's working legally in Canada was creating some artwork for a U.S.-based magazine. And he was asking, when the guy creates the artwork, what system, U.S. or Canadian, for copyright protection would this artwork be subject to?
Right.
My thought was that it would be subject to both the Canadian and the U.S. systems, if for no other reason than because of the Berne Convention, both countries being signatories to that. And but that were I would register in the U.S. as well as seeking protection under Canadian copyright law.
So is there an advantage to registering it in the U.S.?
Yes, monetary advantage if you're infringed, a great considerable difference. In Canada, the most you can get for a non-commercial infringement is $5,000. For commercial infringement, $20,000. But attorneys there don't work on contingency, so whatever fees you would get under and in either circumstance would mostly be eaten up by attorney's fees. In the U.S., you can get, depending upon the type of infringement, the work, et cetera, you can get up to $30,000 for a non-willful infringement or up to $150,000 for a willful infringement plus attorney's fees.
Hmm.
And attorneys will, depending upon the size of the case, will sometimes work on a contingency basis, meaning basically they're sort of partnering with you in the pursuit of
if you've registered the work.
If you have registered the work, and that's why I recommended that the illustrator in Canada go ahead and register the work in the U.S.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is like a square one thing, but we always gloss over it because we've been doing it so long. We assume everyone listening knows this. But, you know, if you're a creator and you create a work, be it music, be it visual art, be it film, and you're going to distribute it, you're going to put it out in the world, it's a good idea to register your work with the Copyright Office. Because if somebody comes along and infringes you and you're registered before the infringement, you're able to get those damages that Bill mentioned, which are, you know, up to $150,000 in statutory damages and an award of attorney's fees, which is huge leverage when you face an infringer. If you're not registered and somebody infringes you, and I have a number of these in the fire right now, you know, you have to run to the copyright office and register the copyright before you can sue them, before you can even take them to court. And if you do, given that your registration postdates the infringement, all you're entitled to is your actual damages. And oftentimes, if you catch the infringement very early on, there's very little in the way of actual damages, and it's not even worth suing. You know, and you have to wait for, you know, 6-8 months for the Copyright Office to turn your application around. That's an interesting point. That was in front of the Supreme Court recently, whether your application, you can go ahead and sue as soon as you submit your application to the Copyright Office and not wait to see if they accept it or reject it. Or if you have to wait for the actual certificate to show up in your mail, which, like I said, can be 6 to 8 months.
The accepted wisdom was always that it was valid as soon as they received it.
Right, but this is up in the air now.
Have
they ruled?
They haven't ruled. The argument was just a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, the two judges that I, you know, Kavanaugh raised it, and I think... it wasn't Roberts, but it was one of those other conservative guys were pointing out, because the government was arguing you have to wait to get your registration. And they're saying, well, wasn't this all premised on the fact that you would get your registration really quickly back when the Copyright Office first opened? And they said, yes. Well, they said, well, you're not doing it. You're not holding up your end, you know. He said that the law doesn't make any sense the way it stands right now. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm agreeing with these guys.
But I know. hopefully that will happen.
Like, how long does it typically take once you submit your registration?
Six to eight weeks.
Months.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. It is.
I get some back fairly quickly, and it always surprises. If it's a single work by a single author, you'll probably get it back in a couple of months.
I have one out now that was a single work by me. And as a matter of fact, I was thinking about it the other day. I need to check on it because I haven't seen or heard anything from it. And it's been at least since last spring.
They lose them.
Oh, well, they lose them in this computer age. They can lose them.
They are the least computerized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I have a feeling that the ranks of the examiners has been thinned out considerably in the past couple of years.
Yeah, probably. Nobody's calling, is it?
Oh, finally,
here we go.
Woohoo!
You know what?
I was going to say, is the transmitter down?
Paul Rapp, you need to just not panic.
Paul, get off the floor. Come on, Paul.
This is boot camp, the first 14 minutes of the program. We'll be fine. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Listen, Paul is feeling a little insecure, so I want you all to call and ask a question about copyrights. In the meantime, Polly Law, you have a show coming up.
Yes, I do. Thank you for asking. Thank you for mentioning it. I am currently putting the work together for a two-person show at Albert Shahinian Fine Art in Rhinebeck, New York. The soft opening will be the first weekend of March, but the official opening and reception will be on the 16th of March.
Well, that's exciting. Now, give us a preview. What will we see?
A lot of my art.
That's vague. I like that. That'll work.
It's work that I've completed in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And this will be the first showing in this area since it was created. Some of it will be pieces that I created for a solo show down in the city, down in New York City, that unfortunately opened two nights after the election in 2016.
Oh, okay.
Five people showed up. five very depressed people.
So we're hoping
up.
For better attendance this time around.
Yes.
Well, that's great, Polly Law. And how can people find out more about that?
They can go to albertshahinianfineart.com.
How do you spell Shahinian?
Yeah, all right. Well, it might be the whole show. But
Just like it sounds.
Yeah. S-H-A-H-I-N-I-A-N.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. Let's take a break here, and then we'll get to the calls. You see, everyone is calling to talk to Paul Rapp and Bill and Polly.
Thank you, my people.
800-348-2551 if you want to join the fun. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Polly Law, Bill Westwood, and Paul Rapp here for the Copyright Forum. And one email here, and then we will jump on the phones. This one is from Kathy. Kathy writes, I have an idea for a company and website name for my artwork. The company name I want to use does not come up when I search the Federal Trademark Database, and it does not come up when I search in New York and nearby state corporation listings. However, I did find one person who listed that business name in her resume and an online professional website in an adjacent state. Can I file a trademark for this name?
Oh, I think probably. Yeah. I do this sort of thing a lot, and if it's not in the database, and then you did a general Google search, and you don't see it as an active company, I mean, if you saw it in somebody's resume, the company's probably not around anymore. I mean, generally, if you exist, you're going to be found on the internet, is you know how I look at it. So, you know, I think probably yes.
Okay. Well, here we go to the phones at 800-348-2551. We begin with Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
Hi, Ray. In honor of your guest, I moved indoors away from the rooster.
Oh, that's a shame.
As soon as I got, I think it's the infrared connection between the phone cells or something that sets them off. I would like to know, and both your guests' opinion, what were the most important copyright laws that were passed in this country and maybe in historical terms? Because it's something I think is fundamental. I don't know much about it.
Do you mean cases or laws?
Cases and or laws. I mean, in the last, say, 100 years or so. Just something that sticks out in your mind that is important to copyright.
Well, the Copyright Act of 1976 is probably the most important.
Right. Yes.
I mean, it's the whole copyright law was rewritten over a period of 15 or 16 years. And it was a comprehensive rewrite from the law that dated back to 1909.
And
a lot of people are saying it's overdue to be rewritten again.
Which the Digital Millennium Act was supposed to do, but it failed miserably.
Yeah, the Digital Millennial Act. And then there were some tweaks that were made last year that help with digital royalties and stuff like that. But, you know, I think probably the entire law should be rewritten. The whole thing has gotten so politicized by big
is Europe's laws in terms of time different than the United States?
No, they've been reconciled.
I thought so. Okay. But there is no like fundamental law where that first comes in the 1800s where the copyright, when is that original?
The Berne Convention?
No.
No, the original copyright law was like 1790.
In the U.S.
Statute of Anne.
In the U.S.
Well, the Statute of Anne.
The Statute
in the
of
US,
Anne
but,
is, yeah.
And, you know, in the United States, pretty quick after the country was formed, they passed a bunch of copyright laws in, I think, 1790 or something like
all right.
that.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Mark, thanks a lot. Regards to the rooster. Brian in Shelburne Falls. Brian, you're on.
Hey, thank you, Ray. Ray, I appreciate all you do on WAMC. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
And I love the copyright show. I try to catch it every time I can. And my question is, to put it as succinctly as possible, I've just on the verge of completing a 6.5-hour education training video on the topic of compassion as it relates to the work environment and our lives. And it's been quite a journey. It's been about 7 years to do this and editing and what have you with the team. And I'm wondering, and I've gone to Paul's website, and it was very helpful. It's got, you got great information on there, Paul.
Oh, good, thanks.
I've gone to that, but I'm wondering about copywriting this program. And although your website was helpful, I was wondering, it seemed overwhelming to me. This isn't my field of study, obviously. Can you tell me some information, and would it be necessary for me to come in to make sure I've connected all the dots after I registered? And I'm not quite sure how to do that. I know you go to the copyright registry, the Gov site, to make sure with someone like yourself on the panel, did I do this correctly so that I didn't drop the ball someplace? So that's my question.
Well, you definitely can register it, and if it's one work, you can probably register it with one application. Although a 6.5 hour video might exceed the space limitations.
You mean on an upload a video
for uploading it?
And if you just answer all the questions on the form, you'll be covered.
Yeah, and you know that your company would be the owner, as you said, you had a team, so it would be, you know, work made for hire from the various people that worked
on
it.
From the website, the name of the company, yes.
Yeah. You know, and it's pretty simple, and it's a $55 filing fee, which is a real bargain.
Yeah, it is. And I think I've just heard you saying, and I'm going to listen to the rest of the show because I know there's a lot of info that's useful. I think I heard you saying that it can take up to 6 to 8 months to hear back from them.
Yes.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's.
But I think the rule of thumb is you would consider it registered once you send it in, at least unless the Supreme Court rules differently soon.
All right, Brian, thanks for that one. 800-348-2551 is the number. Bill Westwood is here. Polly Law is here. Paul Rapp is here. And Valerie is in Richmond, Massachusetts. Valerie.
I just wanted to say real quickly.
Hey, hang on, Valerie.
The 6 to 8 months brings it just about to when the court starts issuing its determinations.
Well, all right.
Okay.
Valerie, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think my question probably already just got answered, but anyway, last summer in August, my sister and I, we finished our CD for our music. We sent in all the songs individually. Got them registered. I have all those numbers, you know, 8 different registrations. And that was in August. It's now the third week in February. So am I still sort of in the safe? It's taking forever to get a reply back from them? Or do I consider them copywritten because I have all those numbers when I submitted them via computer?
I think you're still in the safe zone. Another 3 or 4 months, I might send them an email and ask them what happened.
Okay.
But I think you're
all
still.
Right.
And I think if they had a problem, you probably would have heard by now.
Right. Heard. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. That's good news.
Yeah,
they
will get back to you if you do something wrong and ask for a correction.
Now, they don't check content, though. Valerie sends her music, and they don't have somebody listening with headphones and saying, well, this sounds an awful lot like that Zeppelin record.
They do have people. They're called examiners.
Really?
And their job is to determine if something is coverable, like especially with visual arts. A lot of product of graphic designers is not registerable because it's too generic.
Will they give you your money back then?
No. And, you know, I never thought they actually looked or listened or examined. They just saw that it was in a format of something that they registered, and then they'd register it. And they watched the stuff. I sent in some videos that a client's father had made 20 years ago, 30 years ago in China. And they wanted to get these works copywritten. And I got a thing back saying, well, in the end credits of this video, it says made in conjunction with such and such a university. And I'm like, you watched it?
Yeah.
I didn't even watch it,
yeah.
You know?
And decades ago, when the Graphic Artists Guild sent a delegation down to the Copyright Office, and we met with a bunch of examiners because we were talking about what visual arts are registerable as opposed to what aren't. And they had this, you know, 20-foot-long table that had a river of art running down the middle of it, ranging from at one end definitely registerable to at the far end definitely not registerable. Huh. And the examiners were going through and like stopping halfway in and going, pulling out a piece and talking to us about, well, you know, what about this piece makes it registerable and what, you know, precludes it from registration. So there are examiners, but I'm sure there are a few of them, way too few for the amount of work that comes in.
Yeah. Especially given the last number of years, there's been so much emphasis on copyright and registration.
Yeah.
Mm. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. And Sonia in Lenox. Sonia, you're on.
Thank you. Hello. Hi. So I had a business name trademarked, I'm going to say at least 10 years ago, maybe longer. And in going through paperwork rather recently, within the last year, I found all the information about the trademark, and I was reading through it, and I found something in there that I'm pretty sure said something about needing to recertify or do something else in 5 years. And the attorney I used was very clear to say, and we don't remind you about this. So is there something I should be doing?
Probably.
That comes up again?
Yeah. I mean, it trademark, when you register a trademark, and for the listeners, a trademark is a commercial name or a logo. It's separate from copyright. It's very different, but it's a commercial designation of source. When you register with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, between the fifth and the sixth year, you have to submit a filing, let them know you're still using it. Because, you know, a lot of people register trademarks and then use it for a year and then they go out of business and, you know, the thing is just coming up the works. And then at the end of the 10th year, you have to renew it again. So there's these two maintenance filings that we've had. And by the way, I try to remind my clients of it.
Well, that's good. Full service.
But I would go to the USPTO database. There's a very good chance that your trademark has been canceled or deemed abandoned. At which point you should re-register if it's still available.
And in 5 years, re-register.
Yes, and mark it on your day timer.
Verify it.
Yeah, well, I wish somebody would have told me that. Mm. Yeah, and it's a lot of money. It was actually quite a lot of money to do that. So I was really disappointed when I read that. But I'll get right on that now. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And then after 10 years, what happens? Are you good forever then?
Then you're good for another 10 years.
So even like Coca-Cola. They every 10 years they have to resubmit.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have someone earning a hefty salary.
Who does just that.
Keeping track of
that's
it.
That's their right. only job.
Let's go to Holly in Statsburg. Holly, you're on.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Hey, Holly.
Hey, Polly.
Holly
I learned,
Polly.
Actually.
We know each other.
Yes. I learned actually on this show from Polly a number of years ago that you can't copyright a recipe. And I recently published an ebook that's a cookbook, and someone encouraged me to have it copyrighted. And so I wanted to find out, because it's a series of recipes, is that copyrightable?
Yes.
The book is.
The book is. It's your selection of recipes. It's how you ordered them. It's how you presented them visually.
It's the material in between the recipes.
Yeah, but
the photographs.
The recipe itself, no.
Okay.
So register the book.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks, Holly. And drink recipes you can't copyright either?
No. Nope.
It's always fun trying, though.
Oh, I had a good one on Friday night. Let me tell you, had muddled jalapenos in it.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
It was really – that's another show. Let's go to line 8 and Ambigay in Saratoga.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a quick question about songs that I am currently recording. These are covers of songs. And I wanted to know, is there a single place I could go to get permissions to have these put onto a CD? I'm not sure that these will ever be sold because it's just a bucket list item of mine. So if you could help me with that, please.
Okay. Well, if you're not going to distribute them, you know, in huge numbers, offer them for sale, or you're not going to give away 500 of them, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't bother registering. But if you are going to put it into commercial release, you should go to a website called songfile.com, create an account, and the vast majority of the songs that you probably the songs you're recording are all going to be there, and you can get a click through license. You tell them how many copies you intend to make. They'll give you a number, and you pay for it with your credit card.
How about that?
Oh, wow. That's great. Thank you so much for your advice.
Mm-hmm.
Is that very expensive?
It's more expensive than it ought to be. You know, for each song, I think there's a $40. Well, I mean, the license itself is 99 cents per distributed copy, and I think that's due to go up quite soon. But, you know, it's a $40 filing fee for each license, which, you know, so if you're getting 500, you know, your filing fee is going to be more than your license is going to be. And then they issue separate licenses for physical copies, for digital downloads, and then for streaming.
Wow.
And, you know, the licenses all cost the same. So it's gotten to be quite a racket. Although I think the recent copyright law is going to smooth a lot of that out and put it in one central place.
All in all, it's cheaper to write your own material.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Well, the number here is 800-348-2551. Christy in Pittsfield. Christy, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call. I've been doing print-on-demand hiking guides, and I've got some. I've been very successful. I've been doing presentations, libraries, bookstores. And the book is registered on the copyright, but I haven't sent in a hard copy yet, and I should do that. That would be the actual registering of the book. But one of the titles of the book, what I used for my, can I say it on the air?
I don't know.
It's not a. It's Rockachusetts. It's not an English word. That's Rockachusetts. And is that copyrightable?
No.
I mean,
no.
You know.
No words, no single words are copyrightable. They're trademarkable. Well,
it might be trademarkable if you have a series of books.
Well, I have that too, but I don't have them all. The next one is Erratic Wandering, and then there's one more to come in. In New England, but Rockachusetts is not even an English word.
Right.
Well,
but
it's a created
still,
word.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had a guy making T-shirts that said Albany is excellent.
And
we tried to register that, and it was three words and a little design on the T-shirt, and that got rejected
They
said there's not enough copyrightable material here. But single words, even if they're made up, are not registrable with copyright.
Okay, because it's a title of the presentations I've been using in of the book, and I've seen a little other people wanting to say, well, you ought to make your own book and call it Rockachusetts 2 or something like that. And I was just kind of concerned about that.
Yeah, and the trademark office won't register titles for single works. So
So
if you've got two books coming out called Rockachusetts, then we can go to town.
Well, there you go. You get the Flintstones visit Rockachusetts. It would be really cool. Over to Rachel in Hyde Falls. Rachel, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I have copyrighted pictures in the past, like years ago, so I'm very rusty about the whole procedure. Can you copyright multiple pieces of visual art in one application, in order to pay one fee, or do you have to do each individual piece separately?
You can.
And then one other question is, does an illustrated storybook in which you've done both pictures and story count as one application?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can register the multiple pieces as long as they haven't been published previously.
Or as long as you say they haven't been published.
Or as long as you, Well, we're not trying to help people do the wrong thing.
don't send
good for
in
you,
tear
Bill.
Sheets.
does that make sense?
If you had 10 pictures that weren't necessarily related, you could send them in one shot.
Yes.
Okay. Then a storybook with illustrations would count as one piece as well?
Sure.
Okay. Very good.
Thanks, Rachel. Quickly over to Karen in upstate somewhere, and you'll be our last one before the next break. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi. Thanks for taking my taking my call. Sure. I have a question. I'm a collage artist, and I use a lot of famous paintings cut up in my work, but I change the, if they're paintings, I usually am putting them in a sculpture or a wearable piece where they're contexted. I cut them up so they're not the whole painting, but there are recognizable pieces. Is that problematic for me?
Are they artworks that were created within the last, like, 100 years? Or are they classical pieces of art?
Both.
The classical pieces, you're clear.
Anything that was, that predates 1924, I'm glad to say now 1924, because we have a growing public domain, finally. You can do whatever you want with it. When you said wearables, are you like then making fabric and making multiple numbers of works?
One of a kind pieces, but they're jewelry. So I'll cut things up, and you might see like a Botticelli face within the piece of jewelry.
Okay, if it's a single work and you're not like making prints and you're not like making multiples, I think you're generally gonna be okay. Even if you're using works that are otherwise covered by copyright, because you're just recontextualizing everything and you're not making multiple copies, you're making one. So I think you're going to be okay.
All right, Karen, we have to take a break here. We'll be right back. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's the Copyright Forum. Paul, Bill, Polly are here to answer your questions. 800-348-2551. Home stretch coming up. Well, we're just talking about mixed drinks and the drink with the jalapenos in it that I had over the weekend. Yeah, we'll copyright that thing. Oh, yeah. It's Vox Pop. It's the Copyright Forum. Polly Laws here. Bill Westwood and Paul Rapp. A couple of emails have come in. Now, full disclosure, my producer, Jim Lavoulis, is not here, so I'll have to do the email sifting.
Wow.
So it's not going to go well.
That's admirable. Yeah, well.
This one's from Richard. Richard writes, I would like to know how long a copyright lasts. If I were to copyright a photograph today, until when does this copyright protection remain in effect? P.S. The Copyright Forum is one of my favorite shows on WMC.
Awesome.
So what do you think?
The check's in the mail.
Yay.
It'll last until 70 years after
75.
Is it 75?
75.
After you're dead.
After you're dead.
All right. And you won't even know the difference by then.
No. Right. It won't matter.
But be sure to, in your will, designate someone who will be the holder of those the trustee of those copyrights.
Okay. This one is from Drew. Drew writes, I parked my vehicle and had to run into work just at the start of the show. So I'm hoping the answer to this will come back as a reply to this email. Well, I can't do that. maybe you can listen online at some point. Have your friends tell you. Drew's question is about intellectual property. And Drew writes, I work for a car dealership and have spent a long time developing some pretty creative new pay plans for different key roles at our dealership. I haven't launched them just yet, but they should help to improve employee satisfaction and overall company profitability. My question is, if they do pan out as planned, how do I protect my idea? In a car dealership, the employee's pay plan really drives what they focus on, and it seems that it's an untapped market.
Did you make this, if you were an employee of the company and this was part of your employment?
Right. It belongs to the company.
It belongs to the company, plain and simple. If this is something you did on your own time on weekends during the evenings.
Even while he's employed, though.
If it wasn't part of the scope of your employment, if you were a car salesman and you just on your own went and created this, these programs.
You weren't on company time.
You weren't on company time.
And you weren't using company computers.
And okay. Own them, and I would suggest going to see a patent lawyer. Probably.
Barring any contractual language to the contrary.
Yeah. Right.
Because a lot of companies, and I don't think car dealerships would be among those, but a lot of companies will require that you assign any patentable or copyrightable material to the company, even if you create it outside of your work.
Okay.
Yeah, you know how many hours. Oh, and you know something? It's 70. It's not 75 years, because it was life
Right.
Plus
no,
50,
no, no.
It,
and then, you're
and
right.
They extended
you're right.
It by
right.
70. And right. it went from 75 okay. to 95.
But it's 95 is 95 if it's work for hire.
Right. But, I mean, either way, you're still dead.
Yeah, right. still dead.
Yeah. This one's from Joe, and then we'll get back to the phones. Joe writes, good afternoon, group. I have photos of famous musicians taken personally in the 70s and 80s. May I legally sell copies of those photos or publish them? And that is from Joe.
I think, yes, certainly. You don't want to sell a million of them. You don't want to put them on posters. But if you're selling prints, I would suggest doing numbered prints. That, okay. that would, you know, help.
At what point, though, do you run into conflict with the
right of publicity?
Right of publicity.
Right of publicity. When you put it on, you know, something that's less arty and more of a article of commerce. If you okay. put it, if you put it on a coffee cup or on a T-shirt, you're going to be running into the rights of publicity
but
of the
artist.
But
people should be aware of that. That it's not a carte blanche.
No,
even wait a if
minute,
you took no. those photos
you,
yourself,
so you need to get a release
right.
from the
really?
From
yes.
the subject.
Even from a famous like, if Paul McCartney is playing in Albany and he's at the Dunkin' Donuts getting a cruller, and let's just say I just say I snap a picture of him.
Yeah,
that's
isn't
fine.
That my picture?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
your
that's
picture.
Your picture. You
right.
just can't,
but you can't commercialize.
You
it.
Can't sell it.
I mean, you can sell that individual picture, right? That one print. But if you make 1,000 of those and start setting up a booth in front of WAMC, selling those, or printing large volumes of them and selling them, you're going
to
get...
You know, it's the celebrity's right to exploit his
okay.
own image.
Yeah.
And it's stronger in some states than others. But,
yeah, and in yeah. some countries and
others. And it's
others.
Pretty damn strong in England.
And
right.
Tom Waits has made a fortune chasing soundalikes doing TV commercials.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what like what?
I think one was for like potato chips, you know.
Tom Waits,
and, you know, and some guys went, I like my potato chip. You know,
well,
and,
Tom Waits didn't come up with that voice. I mean,
but no, but it's his trademark.
Yeah, they go out of their way to sound, you know.
Fair enough. James in Eastbourne. James, you're on.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I think you might have answered one of my questions already about the length of the protection of the copyright of 70 years after you're dead, you said?
Yep.
And that's for poetry and anything that you copyright?
Yes.
That's for individual artist copyrights.
Right.
If the copyright is held by a corporation, it's 95 years from the date of registration.
I submitted some copyrights to poems I wrote. Oh, going back to the early 2000s, I did them all on paper, and it's just like clockwork. Within a couple of months of getting a response, I got solicitations from publishers. Does the Copyright Office share information of who submits copyrights?
Interesting.
No, they. I mean, who's submitting copyrights or who's got registrations is a matter of public record, but the actual works are not distributed.
Okay, because it's interesting because the one that I submitted only a couple of years ago online, I never got any solicitation from the publisher.
Hmm.
It was always the same publisher.
Did they want you to pay them to print it?
They want to know if I'm interested in publishing my work.
Right.
Yeah. Self-publishers.
They just gave up on me. I don't know. Because I didn't get a solicitation when I submitted online.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
Well, interesting, James. Well, thank you for that one. We appreciate the call. Over to Farah in Schenectady. Hello, Farah.
Hi there.
You're on.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
About 20 years ago, I registered some original music I'd written and also a CD of somebody else's music, and it cost about $10 to register them. Recently, I was looking online to see how much it would cost to register more recent work I've written, and they were talking about $800.
No, it's $55 is the current registration fee. The $800, you might have been reading about an expedited registration, which is $800.
Or through something like, you know, having a lawyer do it for you. As opposed to doing
I know
it
the expedited fees about $800.
I'm sorry. They take 6 to 8 months, but you can get it a lot quicker if you pay $800.
Correct.
That is a scam.
You can get it in
no
2 days for $721. I don't know how they – I mean, come on.
Anyway, $55 bucks it sounds like, Farah.
Yeah.
So where do I get the forms?
Online, copyright.gov.
Yeah, you fill them out. You fill them out online. You don't have to do them physically anymore.
I don't even think you can get them physically anymore.
I know they were offering them for a while. I haven't looked at that. I've done all my recent ones online.
I think you can do it online, but it's a lot more expensive. I think it's $75, $80.
I know they were going to
paper.
You mean offline?
Correct. Yeah, offline. So it's better if you do it online.
Okay, Farrah, thanks for the call. And let's see, who's been waiting longest? Looks like Charlie in Vermont. Hello, Charlie in Vermont.
Hi, good afternoon. Great job, you guys. Very informative.
Thank you. Is that it?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I had two questions. As an emerging artist, a painter, what do you think between all of you would be the most central piece of advice you could give to somebody in that position when they first start looking at copywriting? And the second question would be, once one has actually sold an original piece of art to a client, for example,
mm-hmm.
is one able to copyright that after that event?
Yeah.
Do I still own the copyright on that if it hasn't been copyrighted?
Well, right. I'm going to answer both questions at the same time. But one of the most important things you can do when you're a painter is take high-quality digital scans
right.
of
yeah.
every one of your works. Because if you sell the painting, you still own the copyright.
Right.
Except for the right to display.
Right.
The original.
That goes along with the original. But I had a very good painter in Housatonic call me, and he had sold a painting for a lot of money to a woman, and he was still selling Giclée prints of that painting on his website. And she called and was yelling and screaming, and she was going to sue him. And I said, no, she's not.
She has no standing
right.
to do that. I would also add that if you are planning to post your work on social media, that you get into the habit of putting a copyright notice ghosted out over all of your images and flattening the image.
It's called a watermark.
Yeah.
Is that before one has actually copyrighted them?
No, look.
Yeah,
look,
you can do that.
Well, wait. Let's make something clear. The work is copyrighted from the moment you create it.
Yes.
You own the copyright the moment you create the artwork. The protection comes, the real protection comes when you register that artwork with the Copyright Office.
You can put your copyright notice on the piece before you register it.
Oh, yes.
It.
Well, yes, you can put your copyright piece on whether you register it or not
right.
because the copyright belongs to you.
Yeah. And also, don't put high-res scans up online.
Yeah.
Good plan. Charlie, thanks for that one. And now let's go to Shirley in New York. Hello, Shirley.
Hello there. I'm curious. I purchased some letters at an auction 20 to 25 years ago, and I have transcribed them. They're historic, dating from about 1860 to 1845. And I would like to print them as an historical book, from about 1860 to 1920. Now, do I have the right to print someone else's letters, to make a book out of someone else's letters?
Yes,
absolutely.
They're in the public domain.
So
well,
go for it.
When I purchased them at the
right.
auction.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
well,
they're in the public domain because
no.
of the passage of
yeah.
time.
Not because you
so
bought
even
them
personal
at an
letters.
Sure.
Yeah. Of any variety.
Absolutely.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, everything predates 1924. None of these things have been published, but they're of historical value. You can go ahead and publish them.
And then you would you would register that collection.
Right. You wouldn't own the content of the letters, but you would own the selection of the letters and the presentation of the letters.
One of the descendants, when they found out that I had these, told me that he would sue me, that these were artistic and they were not to be. His attorney said that they will sue me for whatever I have.
I'd say that's a threat. It doesn't mean that they won't.
I thought it was true.
Well, but that doesn't mean they won't sue you and cost you money. But it just means that
if you register the book,
uh-huh.
you might
copyright
be
able, it, you mean.
If you register, the book itself will be copyrighted the minute you finish it. However, as Bill said earlier, you need to register the copyright with the Copyright Office.
Yeah, I think since you're under legal threat, you'd do well to consult a copyright attorney before you move forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Shirley. Over to Hillsdale or Hinsdale. Larry, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Ray. It's Hinsdale.
Okay.
I just had a question. I'm just about to start writing a blog. Should I copyright it?
I don't think it's strictly necessary. I mean, you're going to be adding to it all the time. It's a blog, so you want people to
share it daily.
You know, you want people to share it. I would put a copyright notice on the bottom of every page, but I don't think it's necessary. You know, if the blog catches fire and suddenly you've got thousands of hits all the time and you're getting quoted everywhere, then, you know, maybe you might think about
it. It's a little time consuming to every day if you're going to do X number of posts to.
Well, you could do it every 3 months and just throw in everything
as a serial.
Done. Yeah. But I wouldn't worry about it starting out.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Good luck with the blog, Larry. Over to Susan in Schenectady. Susan.
Hi. So my aunt died in around 2007, and she left me all of her writing. And I kind of just put it in some boxes and put it in the back of my closet. But I got it out recently and started looking at it, and it's wonderful. I mean, there are children's books and plays and poems and song lyrics and fiction pieces and even movie scripts, all kinds of things. And I was thinking about putting it up in a website so her friends, who I'm sure have never read these pieces, they were just in the file cabinet, and other family members could read them. But then I thought maybe I should do something about copywriting them or...
Okay.
What do you think?
I think the same as the last answer. You know, put it up there, put a copyright notice at the bottom of every page because you own the copyrights. If you're the sole heir and she left you all this stuff, you own the copyrights to to the content. And if things start catching fire, if you start getting inquiries from Hollywood and stuff like that, then... You know, then you might start thinking about registering.
Well, I beg to. Oh, go ahead, Bill.
We only have about a minute here.
Yeah, don't. I would register them.
Yeah.
I really would, because if this stuff really is good, you're going to be chasing the cow after he's left the barn.
I would also see, you know, if you could possibly get a literary agent to look it over.
Oh, you make a good point there.
To determine if anything is really worth anything. In their opinion, for publication.
All right, let's squeeze one email in here. This is from Ben. Question for you guests. I recently had one of my photos published in the Times Union. A reader who saw it wants to purchase it. I haven't spoken to them, so I don't know what they want it for, although I suspect it's just for personal display. Should I copyright the photo before I sell it?
Yes. It is copyrighted already.
By the Times Union or by the photographer?
Well, that comes down to, was it a freelance job that... Does the photographer have some sort of agreement with the Times Union that says that they own their work? Those are complicated questions.
Well, that's my neighbor, and I never even knew he had a camera. So that's amazing. Well, we're done here. Hey, Bill Westwood and Polly Law and Paul Rapp, thank you for being here. Support comes from Department of Theater Arts, SUNY New Paltz, presenting Entozake Shange's For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow is Enough, February 28th through March 10th. NewPaltz.edu. Vermont Coffee Company. Organic coffee in the brown paper bag. Available at local grocers. Vermont Coffee Company. Coffee roasted for friends. Rhinebeck Artist Shops. Professional picture framing and fine art materials. Rhinebeck New Paltz at its 793 Broadway in Kingston. RhinebeckArt.com. And Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing seniors with transitional care and rehabilitation therapy as they move from hospital care to another level of care or home. Daughters of Sarah. .org. Well, thanks again to Bill Westwood, Polly Law, and Paul Rapp for being here today. Thank you for calling and for listening and for writing. And thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to Kayleen White for answering the phones. Our producer is Jimmy the Hammer Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, that's what they call him. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin returns for Pets and Vets tomorrow. Right now, stand by for news.